Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
From the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost of the innermost. The guide on the inside. We need to know Him like never before and be yielded to Him like never before. Let's pray. We're going to open up with prayer. Father, this night I stand before Your presence in awe of You, worshiping, honoring, blessing You, thanking You for granting me utterance tonight in the Holy Spirit. Think through my thoughts, speak through my lips Your words, which You would want to say and do. We thank You for the impartations that come by the Spirit of God into the hearts of people. You said You would visit the hungry hearts. And so I pray that each one tonight has a hungry heart. And they will not be disappointed or let down, because You're not one that would fail us ever. But You're always willing and wanting to give of Yourself more and more to us. So I thank You tonight for Your goodness, Your love, and kindness. In the name of Jesus, amen. Wow, well, here we are. 2025, 2024 come and gone, and we're looking face to face at 2025. And Pastor Chris and I have always tried to do four legs of the ministry here. One of the legs of the ministry is prayer. And we knew that from the get-go, that prayer was to be a strong leg of this church. And it's not something to be taken lightly. And the more that you understand it, I pray that the more that you will give yourself to it. There are some people that are more given to prayer than others, but everyone has a supply to bring when it comes to prayer. Everybody. It's just knowing how and what to do when it comes to prayer. And so tonight, I just wanted to make sure that everybody got their handout. And real quickly, take your handout. First of all, before we even do this, every person in here tonight that you've been involved in, you pray regularly in the prayer groups, I want you to stand to your feet. Y'all can look around and see those around you that have committed themselves and been faithful and coming out to prayer. I'm believing that by the time this series ends, there'll be a whole lot more that will be standing and committed to prayer, because Jesus is looking for a praying church. Hallelujah. I thank each one of you for your commitment. You may be seated. Your handout here tonight, I just want to quickly go over, because as a church, together, we want to take every day in the week, this whole year, and be praying on these particular topics. So you won't ever have to ask or say, well, Pastor Debbie, what is my church praying? Well, Sundays, we will be seeking the Lord. You got Exodus 33, verses 18 and 19, where he said, Moses, and he said to the Lord, he said, please show me your glory. Then he said, God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. Jeremiah 19:13, he says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Notice that part in there, all your heart. When you Search for him with all your heart. God is looking after those who have a heart hunger. A heart hunger. We should never allow ourselves get to the place where we're never hungry to know and understand him more. Positionally speaking, we have all of God we will ever get. But experientially speaking, there are more and more encounters and experiences with God that we can never even fathom. But they're available to us if we will give ourselves to him. Hallelujah. The encounters with him, experiences with him, and coming to know him like Paul prayed in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. He said, I make it my determined purpose that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply, intimately acquainted with him, perceiving, recognizing, understanding the wonders of his person more strongly, more clearly, that I may in the same way come to know the power out from his resurrection, which he exerts over believers, that we may show share in his sufferings as to be continually transformed into his likeness. That was the Amplified version. Praise the Lord. Y'all can tell as certain ones that I purpose to know and pray on a regular basis. And so Sundays we're seeking the Lord. We're asking for God's presence in our midst with demonstrations of miracles, signs, and wonders. We're praying that we will listen to God's voice. Our faith is strengthened to trust him, and he guides us in all aspects of our lives. Do you know the percentage of churches that have signs, wonders, and miracles in them? Not very many. Why is that, Pastor Debbie? Because there has been a lack of fear of God in our church. The world has come into our churches and watered them down, and it should not be like that. We should expect in our midst here as a congregation signs, wonders, and miracles. And not just within the church, we ought to be believing for them to go outside these walls and taking them to an unsaved world. It's the donor bell. It's the donor bell for the world to get into the church so they can be won and discipled and taught the truth. So Mondays, we'll be praying for our pastors. Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Pray for the anointing and the preservation on all pastors here and their family members. Pray for leaders and for growth in CFC and our worship. Do y'all, you know, when it comes to worship, that's the heart of God. That's the heart of the Father. And too many times we take worship, we're coming to church and we're thinking in our minds, or some of us are, of who you can minister to instead of having your heart filled to come and minister to him. Right. Our purpose is to come and minister unto him. Right. What does he think? What does he want? What is he searching and looking for? Come on now. John 4, verse 23. It says he is looking, Jesus is looking for true, genuine worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. He's searching for these. Evidently, he hasn't found enough yet. And so many times people are coming and they skip worship. They show up here at 11 o'clock and they miss the whole worship time. Yeah. It's because they don't understand the Father's heart when it comes to worship. It prepares your heart to receive the Word of God. And if we can't even come to minister unto him, thank you, Pastor. How can we expect him to minister back to us? Yeah, we need to take it serious. And so we're praying for leaders, the growth in CFC, the worship, our ablaze youth, Force 412, the CFC kids, we want to see this next generation. Come on now. We want to see this next generation take off as we pass the baton, that they catch what needs to be caught by the Spirit of God, because they're in it, they're around it, they're being taught it, and they can't help but catch it. This next generation, it ain't going to just happen by osmosis. No, no, they got to be in it, be taught it, be around it. Get hungry for it, desire it, want it. And then we want to pray for the media outrages, our social media, events, services, all publications for the distributions of the gospel to glorify our King Jesus. Tuesdays, we want to pray for CFC Church, Acts 5:14, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Think about that. Families, children, men, women, mothers, fathers, dads, husbands, wives. Hallelujah. It says, cry out for the harvest, the hurting, the hungry. Do you know how many hurting people there are out there in the world today? Yeah. Too many. Too many. And if the church is doing our part, then we're taking it out into the world. And we're ministering to them life, health, hope. So we're praying for the harvest, the hurting, the hungry, the lost, asking that God's kingdom comes, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're praying for the vision of CFC to become more simpler, plainer to people. We exist to what? Win and disciple people to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's what we're here for, to win them and to disciple them, to see them be growing up, and then they become disciplers of themselves for others. And then it says, pray for CFC is bursting at the seams. The Spirit of God is drawing parents, children, and teens. Hallelujah. Wednesdays, praying for prophetic utterance. 1 Corinthians 4:1, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Pray for bold utterance and prophetic insight inspired by the Holy Spirit from God's heart. Ask for words that bring encouragement and reformation to the body of Christ globally. Pray for prophetic sound of the Lion of Judah's roar to reset, reform, revive the nations. Hallelujah. Thursdays, what are we praying for? Government reformation. Reformation. Numbers 14, 20 and 21. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Declare a breakthrough in resetting the political, religious, and cultural realms of our nation and the nations of this earth. Pray to reestablish righteousness, justice, and freedom, and divine liberty for generations to come. Fridays, what are we praying? We're praying for our congregation. Ephesians 4:13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Pray for our members, preservation, protection, health, prosperity, salvation. Ask God to equip people for the work of the ministry while unified in faith, edified in love. Pray for their ears to hear and hearts to receive the word of truth taking root in their daily walk. Kneel before God in honor of His Son and ask Him to unite us. Why? Because where there's unity, there's the anointing, the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. And that's what we want in the midst of us, among us, working through us. Hallelujah. Saturdays, what are we praying for? A global awakening. Isaiah 9:2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the, the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Matthew 4:16a, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Ephesians 5:14, therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Ask God to abolish the woke agenda and replace it with truth, righteousness, morality, godly wisdom. decree freedom, liberty, freedom, and swift change to come to the nations who bow their knees to Jesus. Thank God it's happening, church. It's happening. It's happening. We call the woke broke. Hallelujah. And then this is just a little extra there for you if you want to make some during this prayer series, write down some things the Holy Ghost quickens to you, requests, and then the praise reports when you get you see those requests fulfilled. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So together as a church, we will be praying these things. And if you don't know, right now we have set prayer times at this church. We have it Wednesday nights from 6 to 6:35. We have it Sunday mornings from 9 to 9:35. And Thursdays we have church-wide prayer from 11 to 12. So we have set times of prayer already in place, and we would love to have you and come and pray with us. Amen. Praise God. All right, so tonight, I want to start with the power of a praying church. The power of a praying church. And I want to start out by reading something here from one of the generals in the faith who's gone on and is in heaven. But he said, prayer is always in place in the house of God. When prayer is a stranger there, then it ceases to be God's house at all. It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. He makes prayer, Jesus makes prayer preeminent, that which stands out above all else in the house of God. Think about that. Jesus puts an emphasis on, my house shall be called a house of prayer. He didn't say a house of miracles. He didn't say a house of signs, wonders. No, he said a house of prayer because he knows. Hallelujah. So he says, he makes prayer preeminent, that which stands out above all else in the house of God. They who sidetrack prayer or seek to minimize it and give it a secondary place pervert the church of God. They make it something less and other than it is ordained to be. Prayer is perfectly at home in the house of God. The life, power, and glory of the church is prayer. The life of its members is dependent on prayer, and the presence of God is secured and retained by prayer. I don't know about you, but I'm desiring some more presence, tangible presence of God to show up in our services. Hallelujah. Like Brother Hagin said, he says, when you've seen the big stuff, the little stuff just doesn't satisfy you anymore. So it says, the very place is made sacred by its ministry, prayer. Without it, the church is lifeless and powerless. Without it, even the building itself is nothing. Prayer gives a peculiar sacredness to the building, sanctifies it, sets it apart for God, conserves it from all common and mundane affairs. Without prayer, a church is like a body without spirit. It is dead in an inanimate thing. A church with prayer in it has God in it. And then I want to read this prophecy that was given by Brother Hagin. He said, some would say our church is a singing church, Others would say, well, our church is a word church. He said, some have said, well, our church is a power church. But yea, saith the Lord, I'm seeking for a praying church. I'm seeking for those that will wait upon me. For you can never sing like you ought to sing until you've waited upon me, saith the Lord of hosts. For you can never praise like you should praise. For you can never really walk in faith to the extent that you should walk in faith until you've waited, until prayer is as much a part of your being as breathing is of your physical man. Woo! This is a prophecy now through Brother Hagin, which he's already gone to heaven to. He says, you can never really enjoy the fullness of the word, and the power will never be in full manifestation until you become known as a praying church. Who does God hold responsible? Yes, the church is accountable and responsible. And that's how he ended it. So you'll never really enjoy the fullness of the word. The power will never be in full manifestation until you become known as a praying church. Hallelujah. So with all that, let's open our Bibles tonight and begin in Matthew chapter 16. We talked about the power of a praying church. Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to begin in verse 18. And I'm reading from the Amplified Version. And I tell you, you are Peter, the Greek Petros, a large piece of rock, and on this rock, Greek Petra, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell, the gates of Hades or hell, the powers of the infernal region shall not, say shall not overpower it, or be strong to its detriment, or hold out against it. So what, Pastor Debbie? Well, it says, number one, it says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The church as a whole, the body. The gates of hell shall not. Didn't say maybe sometimes. No, it said shall not prevail against the church. And then look at Matthew 16, verse 19, right below it. He says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. We have the keys. Who has the keys? The church has the keys. What do keys represent? Dominion, authority. It says, I've given you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose, declare lawful on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven. Now it's talking about the first and second heaven. There are three heavens, so we can be, all of us be straight on this. There are three heavens. The first heaven is the air around us. The second heaven is where the galaxies, the stars, the moon, the sun, all the stars in the universe is. Then the third heaven is where the throne of God is. Okay, so when it says here, you've been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. It's talking about being bound in the first and second heaven. Because when Satan was cast out of heaven, and you find that in Revelation chapter 12, when he was cast out of heaven, he was cast down here on the earth, and he has set up his kingdom. The devil does have a kingdom, and it's set up in the first and second heavens. And until his lease runs out, bless the Lord, hallelujah, praise God, it's going to be soon in Jesus' name. He has a right to be here because when Adam sold out and committed high treason in the Garden of Eden, it gave the devil the right to be here. And he's the little g god of this world's system. He is not the God over the believer. You've been given complete jurisdiction, complete authority and power over the enemy.
That's right.
So it says, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. First and second heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. First and second heaven. So now you know and understand. It's not talking about the third heaven where Paul said, I was caught up until the third heaven. I heard unspeakable things that I couldn't even repeat. Because the third heaven is where the throne of God is. The devil can't get in the third heaven. He's been thrown down here. So we are, as a church, are to exercise our authority. We've been given keys. Keys represent that dominion and that authority. And we exercise our dominion and authority through praying as a church corporately, together, united prayer. So when I'm talking about prayer right now in this part of the prayer series, I'm talking about the power of a praying church together, united together, coming together and praying on certain things, about certain things, okay? So this is not closet prayer where you're praying as an individual at home by yourself or to yourself or for yourself. This is united prayer where we come together as a church and we're led by the Spirit of God. We hear God's voice and are led and follow His leadings and His promptings when it comes to praying on certain things. We could have certain assignments and things to pray about. That's why I said we have this handout here. Hallelujah. So, three heavens, we exercise our authority as the church in the first and second heaven. Okay? Another scripture. Let's turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, verse 30. It says, one, how could one have chased 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight except their rock had sold them and the Lord had delivered them up? So when it comes to prayer, when it comes to united corporate prayer, one can chase 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight. And being more than two in here, think about how many are being put to flight when it comes to the enemy and his cohorts. The devil and all his demonic forces. Yeah. So think about that when it comes to united prayer. The more people praying, the more accomplishments are being made. Because there is a corporate faith should be among us, where we're all coming together and believing God for the same thing at the same time and releasing our faith on these things. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, and we're looking at chapter 2. We're talking about the power of a praying church. Whose responsibility is it? It's not on God the Father. He has given the responsibility to the church to pray. He wants us to ask Him to do what He already wants to do, but He gives Him a legal right to do it in the earth when we, as the church, ask Him to do it.
Yeah, amen.
Especially when we find out in His Word what He wants to do, what He is doing and wanting to do. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. And now you know what is restraining him. Restraining who? The Antichrist and all of his junk. It says, and now you know what is restraining him from being revealed at this time. It is so that he may be manifested, revealed in his own appointed time. For the mystery of lawlessness, that hidden principle of rebellion against constituted authority, is already at work in the world, but it is restrained only until he who restrains is taken out of the way. That is the church. So as long as the church is here, hallelujah, the Antichrist cannot come and begin to take control with the 7 years until after the church is caught up out of here. Hallelujah. So we are the restraining force on the earth today. So this represents a tremendous amount of responsibility, and not only responsibility, but authority and dominion that the church is supposed to exercise and utilize here while we're here on the earth. Let's look at another one. Let's go to the book of Job, chapter 22. Job chapter 22. We're looking at a lot of scriptures. Yes, we are. We're building a strong foundation. Job chapter 22, verse 28. It says, but you shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. So as a church, many times when it comes to praying and prayer, we are decreeing things. It says, you shall decree a thing. And, you know, well, how do you know we decree, Pastor Debbie? Well, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, that we're to rule and reign as kings in this life. Amen. On this earth, you and I are priests. Come on now. That go to the Father on behalf of the people. We are the ones that can decree things as priests and declare things, and it's established for us, and light shall shine on our ways. So many times in prayer, we find ourselves decreeing and declaring things. Hallelujah. Because we are, hallelujah, God's ministers. Praise the Lord. And then we look in the New Testament in the book of James, chapter 5. Let's go to the book of James, chapter 5. James, chapter 5, verse 16, and we're looking at the B part. It says the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer. Notice what it says right here. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer. So it's not a prayer that you pray one time and you don't think no more. No, it's not the prayer of faith. That's the prayer of faith. This is a continual prayer. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man or woman makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Yeah. Earnest and heartfelt. Notice that. It's earnest. It's heartfelt. Earnest and heartfelt. It's not just some shallow thing, just praying off the top of your head and your heart's not in it. No, it's earnest. It's heartfelt. Because you know what the mind of the Father is. You know what His heart is, especially when it comes to people, the harvest. And what is God's heart concerning that? He wishes that not any perish, not one, but that all would come to what? Repentance. It's the Father's heart that not any perish, not one. doesn't mean that people don't have, everybody has been given a choice. God never makes anybody go to hell. You choose. It's your choice. He gives you a free will. He does not make us like Pinocchios and controls us with strings and tells us what to choose and what not to choose. No, you are a being with a free will that he wants you to choose him for himself because you want him. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it's the earnest, heartfelt prayer. How vitally important when it comes to our praying. Earnest, sincere, heartfelt. We're serious about when we come to pray. We're not taking it lightly. We're not saying, oh, looking at the clock and saying, man, I'll be glad when this time is over so I can get out of here. No, that's not heartfelt. That's not earnest. We're looking at an earnest, heartfelt. Our heart is in what we're believing and asking the Father for. Our heart is in it. Because we know what his heart is. Let's see how we're doing here. Hallelujah. Brother Hagin made this statement. If you don't know who Brother Hagin is, he was here on the earth and had a ministry of over 60 years. And Pastor Chris and I came up under him. When we got born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, were taught a lot by his books, his preaching, teachings, tapes, and yeah, and we still like to listen to him. But he was raised up from a deathbed. He was paralyzed. He had a blood disease, and the doctor said if one thing wouldn't kill him, the other thing would. But on his deathbed with his grandma's Methodist Bible, he picked it up, decided to get into it and read it for himself. And when he did, hallelujah, he found out what the Word says when it comes to healing. That the same time that your provision was made for your sins, your sins were wiped out, remitted, totally blotted out. The same time that God made provision for your sins through his Son, Jesus Christ, was the same time that he made provision for your divine health. From every sickness, every disease, every illness and weakness. The same exact time. If we can just begin to get the revelation of that understanding where we don't just see salvation as, okay, my sins have been blotted out. My sins have been remitted. No, the same time my sins were remitted, I was healed. Hallelujah. So healing is mine. It belongs to me. Divine health is mine. It belongs to me. It's an enemy out there that's arrayed against us that's trying to steal what rightfully belongs to you. This is where we got to exercise our dominion and authority and say no to him, that he can't do what he's trying to do. That you have complete power over him.
That's right. That's right.
Authority over him. Luke 10:19.
Amen.
Woo. Authority has been given unto you. Hallelujah. So, let's see. Brother Hagin, so going back to Brother Hagin, so he was raised up from the deathbed, and Jesus told him to go teach my people faith. And that's what he did the whole 60-some years he was here on the earth, was teach his people faith. But he said this, he made this statement. He said, if people really knew and understood the power that is made available in united corporate prayer, that's when the church comes together, assembles together, and we pray, lifting our voices together, just like we're going to see here they did in the book of Acts. We lift our voices together out loud. We're not praying to ourselves. We're not praying for ourselves. We're not praying by ourselves. No, we're all coming together, lifting our voices together out loud at the same time, about the same thing, in the same place. And we are releasing our faith together concerning the things that the Spirit of God would have us to pray about. Okay? So he said, if people really knew and understood the power that is made available in united corporate prayer, there would be more people coming out to pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's... Ooh, glory. Let's look real quick at the early church. Turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts will start in chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. The early church, they were birthed in prayer. A picture of the church, let's back up 1 minute. A picture of the united corporate church, united prayer, when we come together and pray. A picture of that would be that it splits the heavens open and creates a glorious access between God and man. Also, when the church is praying like it should be praying, it said that it can release such power within our communities and neighborhoods that the neighbors recognize and that there is an unseen force and power that's showing up at Cornerstone Fellowship Church. And we know in who that is, the Lord Jesus, hallelujah, himself. But people recognize it without ever having to knock on the door and tell them. Such power can be released through a praying church. If we would just recognize the power that's made available. You think about the power that's made available on one person, righteous man or woman, who is earnest and heartfelt with their praying. And that much power that's made available, and then we come together corporately and unite it. And then that all together, that anointing is made as one big force that's released and goes out of these walls into our neighborhoods and communities and begins to impact them. It opens a glorious access between here and there. So that, what do you mean, Pastor Debbie? So that it's easy for people to get born again and saved. It removes a lot of the hindrances and things that the devil would try to throw people's way to keep them from getting saved, because this is number one thing, is to keep them from getting saved, and then number two, if they get saved, his second biggest thing is to keep them from growing up spiritually. Yeah. He does not want anybody to grow up spiritually.
Right.
So when we know and understand that, it helps you recognize and understand how God the Father sees people. We have to see people through the eyes of the Father. How precious and valuable that harvest is. How valuable one life is. One life. So the early church, Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Praise the Lord. We'll have to stop here and pick up next week. It says... All of these, with their minds in full agreement, devoted themselves steadfastly to prayer, waiting together with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and with his brothers. Verse 15, now on one of those days, Peter arose among the brethren, the whole number of whom gathered together was about 120. It was 500 of them, but it was 120 that showed up for the serious part. that were committed, devoted, and sold out to it. 500 now, and 120 show up. That's about what? What do we say? That's right. Thank you. 25%, a quarter of it. That were serious. When Jesus told them to tarry into the city of Jerusalem until they be endued or clothed with power from on high. Only 120 showed up. But the 120 that did show up, they wanted and they were determined to wait until they got exactly what Jesus said was promised them. They were earnest and sincere about their praying. So it says, all of these with their minds in full agreement. That's one thing when it comes to united corporate prayer. They are all in full agreement. All of us should be in full agreement when we come and pray together. Whether it's a prayer group in the back or Pastor Chris leads united corporate prayer here together in the sanctuary. We should be all in agreement. Devoted themselves steadfastly to prayer. So it just wasn't at the beginning because Jesus said so. No, they devoted themselves steadfastly. It was more than just a one-time prayer coming together. They understood the importance of coming together as a church, as a body of believers. They understood it and they continued in prayer. Because if we look at Acts chapter 2, we will end right here, blessed. Acts chapter 2, let's begin in verse 41. Because in Acts chapter 2, we see that they tarried and they waited, and then what happened? Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, there was a suddenly of God. Yeah. I love the suddenlies of God. Amen. There was a suddenly, and when the suddenly came, there was fire that came from heaven and it filled all of them and set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to what? Speak with other tongues. Mm-hmm. So it says right here in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, that therefore those who accepted and welcomed his message were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So after they were baptized with the Holy Ghost, Peter gets really bold and he begins to preach Jesus Christ to them, to the people that were standing around, hearing them speaking in other known tongue because they heard it out in the streets. And so people were drawn to it. It was such a big noise and a big stir that happened when the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. It wasn't just a little teeny thing. It was a great big thing. Hallelujah. It says when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, they were all assembled together in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Hallelujah. There was a suddenly with a sound from heaven. Was it a real sound, Pastor Deb? There was a real sound. It drew the crowds into the streets, and everybody was listening to this group and what they were saying. It says, from heaven like a rushing. And then it said, not only was there a sound that was heard, but there was a rushing, violent tempest blast. And it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And then there appeared unto them tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. So nobody was left out who wanted it. Every single one got it, and they began to speak with other tongues. That was the proof and the evidence that they got filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So, right here in chapter 2, verse 41 and 43, this is where we're ending. So after Peter had preached, because he got filled with the Holy Ghost and all these people were gathered around him in the streets and they were listening, Peter took advantage of that moment and he preached Jesus Christ to them. It says, therefore, those who accepted and welcomed his message were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. I don't know about you, but that's a good catch right there. First time after they got filled with the Holy Ghost, they preached one time, Peter does, and 3,000 people come to the Lord. We got to start changing our thinking and stop thinking small. We got to start thinking big. That's exactly right. We serve a big God, and it's the heart of the Father to see lots, the harvest, to come in and be saved. And it says in verse 42, and they steadfastly persevered, devoting themselves constantly to the instruction, that's the word of God, fellowship of the apostles, coming to church, to the breaking of bread, there's this communion, and including the Lord's Supper and prayers. They what? They steadfastly persevered, devoting themselves to these things. Prayers. So they didn't stop praying just because one time the Holy Ghost fell. Let's stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Lord's going to help me in this. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.